Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're in Esther chapter 7. And my, hasn't this been a great study? Has it been that good?
Yes.
My, hadn't this been a great study?
Yes.
My preaching professor drilled into me, this is not a monologue, y'all. This is a dialogue. And I've been reminded of some things as we have been journeying through Esther. And it's been an amazing reminder of God's sovereignty. And it really ties into what's going on in our lives right now. God's in control. He's got a plan. And He's working that plan according to His riches and glory. I mean, we're on His timetable. We're on His schedule, not ours. And when we last, does anybody remember last week where we left off? Haman, the Old Testament Hitler, had kind of had the tables turned on him, and he hated Mordecai because Mordecai, you know, wouldn't bow down and worship him. And so the king had gotten up in the middle of the night and said, you know, I can't sleep. And said, bring me the book of the Chronicles of the King. And he wanted to read about his life, you know. Kind of prideful. But he began to read, and then all of a sudden he ran across that assassination plot that had been foiled on his life. Mordecai had gotten wind of it and sent word to the palace, and that had gotten nixed, and all of a sudden he says, who's done something for this man? Has anybody done anything for Mordecai? This man needs to be honored. Well, no, nothing's been done for him. And so to make a long story short, who was it that rode through town with royal apparel, the king's crown, and on the king's horse? It wasn't Haman, was it? And Haman had to lead the horse through town. And he goes home in mourning. Haman does. And y'all, Haman had a jewel of a wife. She's kind of akin to Job's wife. Remember what Job's wife said? Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, well, that's the kind of woman that he was married to. And so you remember what she told him? Remember what Haman's wife told him last Sunday night? Yeah, it's done. You're toast. You're going to be out of here. So she was a great encourager. And that puts us kind of here where we are. Now remember, the king still doesn't know who Esther is. Or I should say, he doesn't know what nationality she is. King doesn't know yet that she's a Jew, and Haman doesn't know that either. Remember, Haman doesn't know that Esther is Jewish. And so Haman has you know, according to his counselors and advisors and his wife, has gone ahead and constructed a gallows outside of his house to hang Mordecai on. However, the king has just honored Mordecai, as we read about and learned about last week, and so the action in this Bible drama has really begun to, you know, pick up and speed up, and we're moving to a climactic event. And the king really doesn't know about the hatred that's in Haman's heart either. And Haman's very uncomfortable right now, as you might well guess. And he knows something's not quite right. Not everything's right in Shushan. And so I want you to jump over to, real quickly, to Proverbs 16 with me, and because this is kind of what I've titled the sermon tonight, Proverbs 16:5. I'm sorry, Proverbs 16:5. When you're there, say amen. All right, Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone proud in heart. Now listen to this. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's one of the seven deadly sins. God hates pride. though they join forces, none will go unpunished. I want to say it again tonight. The chickens always come home to roost. What goes around comes around. Be sure your sins will find you out. However you want to phrase that, Esther 7 proclaims that the wicked will always be cut down. Let me read Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2 to you. Do not fret. Get this in your spirit now. Psalm 37 says, do not fret because of evildoers. How many times have you found yourself getting upset because somebody... I want to tell you what, I was fit to be tied after those 44 senators voted no on a bill for life. After a baby, after a botched abortion, and a baby comes out of her mama's womb, and the baby's alive, and yet we're going to allow the doctor to kill that baby? That's infanticide. That is wrong. There's nothing right about that. That's a moral situation there. And I was upset about that and just mad, and you know, because I'm a champion for life. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The chickens always come home to roost. My sins have found me out, and bless God, that sweet little girl, her sins are finding her out, and your sins are going to find you out. If I don't know what in the world makes us think that we can get by with our sin. Did Jesus get by with our sin? No. He paid the price for our sin. So if God wouldn't let His Son get by with it, what makes us think we can? Y'all with me? Isn't that an encouraging way to start the sermon today? Anyways, now let's go to Esther chapter 7. And let's take a look at this. First thing we've got here is the queen's explanation. Now you remember, she'd had a... this is the second banquet that she's invited them to, okay? And so Haman's been hauled in by the eunuchs. They'd picked him up and brought him to the palace. And so the king is there, and Haman's there, and Esther's there for this banquet. So Esther 7. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. And so the king asked the queen at this banquet for the third time. He says, honey pie, what in the world is it that you want? Just come to Papa, I'll give you whatever you want. Up to half the kingdom. Whatever it is, you just tell me what you want. Tell me what your wish is, and I'll make it come true. Now, Esther at this point begins to spill the beans. And she says, honey, me and my people are about to be wiped out. See, she's coming clean about her nationality now. And she's telling him who she is. And she says, a proclamation has been posted all over the kingdom. In every town square, there's a proclamation there that every Jewish person, man, woman, boy, girl, is going to be annihilated, going to be exterminated on the 13th day of the last month of the year. That's the month of Adar. And your wife and all of her people are going to be destroyed. Please, please save us. Now, you remember the king had a thing for his wife. You remember? I mean, he had eyes only for her. I mean, he was in love with Esther. And she had won that big, you know, that beauty pageant and all. And I want to tell you, God would use this sweet lady for His glory and for His honor. And His providence was at work. And so, what do you think the king was like when he heard that? A proclamation. That means something that I've signed. That means something that I've got something to do with this. And on the last day of the year, my sweet wife is going to be exterminated, and all of her people. Y'all understand where we are now? All right, let's look at the king's. Now, you remember the king was a hothead. He had a bad temper. Y'all remember that? Half of you don't, so let's look at chapter 1. Y'all don't need to take my word for everything. You need to. All right. Look at verse 12, chapter 1. Remember Queen Vashti? Remember her? She refused. All right, verse 12. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, brought by his eunuchs. Therefore, the king was what? Furious, and his anger burned within him. You see, the king had a pride problem, and he had a hot head. He had a violent temper, and it got him in trouble more than once. History tells us that his anger and his problem with his temper got him in trouble with other nations, other armies. This man had a real issue with his anger. And so now the cat's out of the bag. Look at verse 5. So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? And where is he? Who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?" What's he asking for there? Yes. Where did all this come from? Who's responsible for this? I mean, if there's a proclamation been signed, that means I must have signed that proclamation. I'm having. Now who began all that? Verse 6. And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Now, Haman's right there sitting beside the king. All right? What a great Bible drama. Who's got the movie now? Who has it?
I think Pat
Fuller's got it, and Pat's not here. Okay. Well, we need to keep passing that movie around. It's a good one. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. So the cat's out of the bag. The queen of Persia is Jewish, and she along with her people are going to be exterminated. Now look at verse 7. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life. For he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. Duh. I mean, he knew what kind of man the king was. He had been witness. He'd been privy to the king's anger more than once. And so he knows he's in hot water. And he knows that the king loves the queen. And the king's looking for somebody to blame. And Esther turns and looks at Haman and said, "He's the man. He's the enemy. He's the one that's behind this plot to exterminate me and all my people. He wants to kill all of us." Now imagine what's running through the king's mind. You remember, he's the one that had put Haman in charge. He had promoted him as prime minister over all of Persia. Nobody. It's kind of like Joseph was down in Egypt, all right? And so Haman was the prime. He'd been placed. All of the king's trust had been given to him and in this man. And so the king, how's the king feeling? Yeah, I've been misled. I've been tricked by Haman, and because so he has jeopardized the life of my wife. And so that's a blow to his pride, which He was a very prideful man. What a terrible revelation. And so Haman obviously is now very terrified. And the king was a man who had exploded at any point along the way. And what does the king do? Did you notice that we just read? What did the king do? Yeah, he had to go out and cool off. He goes out to the garden and tries to gather his thoughts and get a grip on his emotion. By the way, what do y'all do when you get angry? Oh, y'all don't get angry? The biblical answer is, oh, I pray. Yeah. I think what he does here may be a good thing, to get a handle on your emotions, especially if you've got this anger issue going on, before you come in and react. And so, but anyways, while he's out of the office, what has Haman done? Oh, he's begging for mercy. You know, he realizes there's only one person that can get him out of the pot that his goose is going to be cooked in, and it's the queen. And so he goes over. Haman begins to plead with Esther for his life. And I don't know, maybe Haman thought he could get by with his sin. I don't know what he's thinking, but he obviously knew he'd been caught red-handed. And you know, I think about how Adolf Hitler, when he marched through Europe, he conquered and slayed town after town after city after city. But it all came crashing down, didn't it? And he would be brought down, and so would this Old Testament Hitler who wanted to exterminate all the Jews. And don't you forget what Billy was talking about this morning, principalities, powers. Satan hates God's chosen nation. He hates the Jews. And ever since day one, he's been trying to get rid of them. Just read your Bible. I mean, that's who's behind all this. And I still believe the very moment we walk away from Israel, and I think we were getting close to that, but when we walk away from Israel, we have signed our own death warrant as a nation. I believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says any nation that's a blessing to Israel, God will bless that nation. And on the other hand, if we're going to curse Israel, and didn't Billy make a great point about the Archangel Michael this morning and how he's guarding the border of Israel? And there's a reason Israel's surrounded by 22 nations who hate her and want to wipe her off the map. Well, the reason they hadn't, yes. So, when the king came back in, now check this out. Did I read verse 7? Let me read it. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. Now, when the king comes back in, he finds Haman reclining on a couch, pleading for his life. And what the king thinks Haman's trying to do is seduce his wife. No wonder they made a movie out of this thing. let me read what Psalm 37, two great verses of Scripture over here. Psalm 37, verses 35 and 36. Well, let me back up to verse 34. Psalm 37, 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. And so that reveals that it's just a matter of time. The wicked are going to get what's coming to them. God has a way of evening things out. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. It may seem tonight, y'all, like people are getting by with murder. It may seem tonight that evil is running rampant and there's no harness on evil in the world today. But I want to tell you, there is a payday for sin. And God is going to even the score. I mean, things are going to be okay. You remember the story I told you about the man who showed up? He'd been a long time since he'd watched the kids play baseball. And so he saw a ball game going on over at the Little League Park and he sat down. Y'all remember this story? Okay, good. Because, you know, I think I've told y'all this before. But he sits down beside this little boy and there's a ball game going on. And he looks at the little boy and he says, "What's the score?" And he says, "Oh, we're behind 37-0. And the guy said, "Oh, you poor thing. Y'all are going to get murdered. Y'all going to get drilled." He said, "Oh, no, we hadn't come up to bat yet." Do you get the application? When God steps up to the plate, everybody's going to get what's coming to them. He's going to take care of things. Look at this. The Word of God tells us, don't you ever forget this, that the righteous are on the heart of our God. The righteous are on God's heart 24/7. He hadn't forgotten about you. I was looking at little Helen Towery Norman over here this morning, and I felt so sorry for her. I wish they could find out what's going on with her husband. We really need to pray for her. I've heard all kinds of things and stories, and Larry's talked to her, and we don't know exactly what's going on, but we think there's foul play involved, obviously. I mean, but on the way out the door, I told her, I said, "Helen, we love you. And God's going to make a way for you. I know it doesn't seem like there even is a way right now. But God's going to right this wrong that's been done. You can count on that." And that's exactly what the book of Esther is telling us tonight. All right, let's finish this up. Verses 8 through 10. Let's look at Haman's execution. Well, look at verse 8. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. So you see, the king's thinking, man, he not only wants to kill my wife, he wants to seduce my wife and sleep with her. And so Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, "Will he also assault the king while I'm in the house?" As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now, Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Now, the first thing they did was they covered Haman's face. And you remember in the old... Don't you love the old westerns? Am I the only one that loves the old westerns? And you know, when they're hanging people in a western, you remember what they do? They read them, you know, they give them their last rites and they let them say whatever they want to say. And then what do? They put a sack over their head. And then they jerk that noose real quick and then boom, it's all done. But that's what's going on here. They covered up Haman's face. It was customary for the criminal to have his face covered up before he was executed. Now, I want you to... Does anybody know what Galatians 6:7 says? Oh, we better turn there then. Galatians 6:7. What a verse of truth this is for us tonight. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6. Yes, that's exactly what it says. That's the Cal Hampton Standard Version she's got. All right, Galatians 6, 7 says, Don't y'all love Sunday night services? This is the way they're supposed to be. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. How many of y'all have heard that before? I remember my daddy telling me that years ago. Son, you're going to reap what you sow. And there's a principle of reaping and sowing. It's a kind of a threefold principle. And in the first part of that, you're always going to reap what you sow. Does that make sense? I mean, if you sow corn, what are you going to reap? If you sow tulips, what are you going to reap? I mean, whatever you put in the ground, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And then the second part of that is, you will always reap more than you sow. A little seed of corn, you put that in the ground, and then the weather warms that seed up, and you're watering it, and fertilizing it, and all of a sudden, boom, a little shoot comes up. And then 2 or 3 months later, there's a big corn stalk. And how many ears of corn are on that stalk? First time, 2. But how many kernels are on each one of those ears? I don't know the answer to that, but it's a whole lot more than what you sowed. All right? You're always going to reap more than you sow. And then the last part of this reaping and sowing principle is you're always going to reap later than you sow. You got to sow first and then you reap. Y'all with me? Okay, give that back to me. What's number one? Plant the seed. What? You're going to reap what you sow. What's the second part of it? You're going to reap more than you sow. And you're always going to reap later than you sow. That's the harvest principle there. Y'all got that? And I don't know if y'all got that or not. But anyways. And so Haman is about to reap what he's sown. Now, one of the servants is there, a eunuch by the name of Harbona, and he says, King Ahasuerus, look! And they look out the palace window, and what do they see? The gallows that Haman had built to hang Mordecai on. They're right beside his house. And he says, look! There's the gallows, 75 foot tall. You can see them from here. And the king said, perfect. We'll just go ahead and hang Haman on the gallows he built for Mordecai. Do you remember the enemies of Daniel? Remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? And when Daniel was vindicated, do you remember what happened? Do what? The king put his enemies and all their families in the lion's den. Because you see, in Persia, whatever crime you were accused of, if you were found innocent, those that had accused you had to suffer the consequences with the same crime as if they had committed the crime. Oh, mercy me. When Daniel was vindicated, his enemies suffered the same punishment. Do you remember Pharaoh? Remember what he did? He drowned, had all the baby boys drowned. Remember that? And old Moses came along and they hid him for 3 months. What happened to Pharaoh? Y'all remember the Red Sea incident? God drowned all of the Pharaoh, all of Pharaoh's army, all the chariots, all the horses, and Pharaoh. Same thing happened to him that he had decreed for all those little Jewish boys. And by the way, you read your Bible, any nation that's killing babies and innocent children, God's going to deal with that nation. You go back and read your Bible. And so God's enemies are always taken care of. And so once they hung Haman, the king's wrath subsided. Haman deserved to die. His sins are what led to his destruction. You know what old Haman needed? He needed somebody to step in and take his place. And I want to tell you, I deserved to die and to pay the penalty for my sin. Y'all remember a fellow over in your New Testament when Jesus had been arrested and he's going through that mockery of a trial and they're bringing false witness after false witness against him, and then they take him from the high priest's house down to see Pilate, and Pilate wants to wash his hands of the whole thing and get rid of him. Then he takes him out back, you know, to the courtyard and has him whipped 39 times with a cat of nine tails. And so finally he comes out, and Pilate asks the people, "You know what? We've got a hardened criminal back here. He's an insurrectionist. He's rebellious, and he's an awful person. I tell you what. Do you want me to release this? Y'all remember his name? Barabbas. You want me to release Barabbas?" And all the people said, instead of setting Jesus free, set Barabbas free. And so, you know, Barabbas, in my mind's eye, just think about the night before his execution, he can hear them putting that cross together. He's the one that's supposed to go to the cross. And he hears them putting the nails in that cross. And then early the next morning, here comes the Roman soldier and puts the keys in the door. And Barabbas must have thought, well, this is it. I'm about to die. When all of a sudden, the jailer announces, "Barabbas, you are free to go." Barabbas must have said, "How can that be? I mean, I'm guilty. I mean, I'm exactly what I was tried for. How can I go free?" And the jailer replied, "Barabbas, they're going to put a man in your place by the name of Jesus. He's going to take your place and pay for your crimes and his too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I deserve to die. I deserve to pay for my sin. But Jesus stepped in and took my place and received my punishment. Same thing happened to Haman ought to be happening to me. But because Jesus paid the price, I can go free. That is the best news you'll ever hear. And that's the news, Second Mile, we need to be taking out there. Let's pray. Father, when we think about old Haman, we think, well, he's getting what he deserved. He was trying to wipe all your people out. But Lord, if we'll really examine our heart tonight and our lives, the Bible says we like sheep have all gone astray. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and deserve to die in our sin. But Jesus stepped in and became our sacrifice. And satisfied, Father, your wrath on our sin. And because Jesus died and paid for our sins and got up from the grave, God, we can go free. We're set free from the penalty and power of sin. And one day, we're going to be saved to sin no more. Oh God, how can we not live for your honor and glory and praise? I thank you for the great story of Esther. The chickens do come home to roost. But we have a Savior who even took care of that for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.